halacha says that pikuach nefesh is doicha kol haTorah kula, with the exception of the three averus hamuros, of avodah zarah, gilui arayos, and shfichas damim. The Gemara derives this from different psukim. The final conclusion of the sugya in the end of Yuma, Daf Pehei, is that it's based on the pasuk v'chai bohem, v'lo she'amos bohem. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that the one who asks, I remember I was sitting in the sukkah once, and someone came over to Rabbi Schwab years ago and he asked that his baby was very sick, is he allowed to drive him to the hospital on Yontif? So Rabbi Schwab said, quickly, go quickly, don't wait. So the Shulchan Aruch says that the one who asks the Shaila, the father who asks the Shaila, is a Shefer Chedomim, he may be causing the death of his child. In that case, it happened to be his baby who was sick. The Hanishal and the rabbi to whom the Shaila was asked is Meguna. There's something wrong with the rabbi. Why is the rabbi at fault? It's not his fault that the Balabas doesn't know the din. So the commentaries explain, the rabbi should have explained to his Balabatim that the din is the Pikuach Nefesh, is Deche, Kol HaTorah Kula. Maybe the rabbi didn't get to it yet. Maybe that's going to be later in the year. So apparently this should be the first year. This should be the first thing the rabbi should say. One of the first things he should explain to his Balabatim is that Pikuach Nefesh is Deche, Kol HaTorah Kula. Strictly speaking, the Gemara makes it clear that Pikuach Nefesh is only doicha if the life of Yisrael is in danger. Life of Anochri is in danger. You're not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. You're not permitted to do Yisurim. We today don't follow that. We today are afraid. The Chasam Sofer quotes this, and the other poskim in Hungary from the 1800s say, if we're not going to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of Anochri, our lives will be in danger. They'll make a pogrom. So we have no choice. We have to be Mechal Shabbos for non-Jews as well. You can't make a hospital only for Jews. All the hospitals in Eretz Yisrael, they treat the Arabs the same way they treat the Jews. Once you have to make a hospital to save the lives of the Israelim, so you have to be Mechal Shabbos to save the lives of the Nachum as well. One of the Achreinim wrote a humorous, to us it seems humorous, a humorous tshuva. Are you permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a Cheresh, a Shaita, or a Kotan? So of course you want. What kind of a silly shot is that? That's in the Tshuvas Halochas Ketana. Shalosh Tshuvas Halochas Ketana. He says, you're not. We don't accept that. We say, you want Mechal Shabbos to save a life of a chetan, even not only to save one's life, that he should live on for many years. A young person, even a person who's holding by the end, and you're just discussing Chayishua, to extend his life a little bit. So the Gemara says, Pikuach Nefesh is Decha Shabbos, even only for the purpose of Chayishua. Sometimes we don't say like that. It depends. If it's a waste of your effort and energy and not getting anywhere, you're just going to give the person another blood transfusion. He's in the middle of gesisa. He's in the middle of the process of death. So that's a question. What's the definition of death? What's the beginning of the process? What's the end of the process? That's a different discussion. So once the person is already in the middle of the process of death, that's called gesisa. So there's no mitzvah at all to extend the person's life. Well, if you see you're not getting anywhere, just keep on giving blood transfusions and so on. You're just going to keep on treating him and you're not getting anywhere. So there's no mitzvah to keep on wasting your effort and energy. The stipler has a letter. After he passed away, they put out a collection of letters. So someone had said, the letters are not in halacha. Letters are mostly on the shiduchim and hashkafe and eitzis and which yeshiva to learn in and so on. Recommendations to accept a student to a yeshiva. So one of the letters was about halacha. Do we always have to push on to extend a person's life under all circumstances? So he writes in the letter that when we were little children, it was ingrained in our minds that the Jewish position always is that you always extend life. When we got a little older, we learned to write in the Dorim on Daf Mem, who quotes the Gemara at the end of Ksuvos, that it's not so. Then we learned, got a little older, we learned in Yerideya, and it says beferish that there's not always a mitzvah to extend one's life. But it doesn't tell you what the guidelines are, what the rules are. It just says it's not always the case. We don't always extend life. If a woman is pregnant and the doctors can ascertain that there's a danger only to the fetus and there's no danger to her life, which is rare, you have to have a doctor to know that. A layman wouldn't be able to know that. If there's any danger, it could be that the woman may lose her life. But if you have, that's how the Rosh writes, how can you have such a far-fetched situation that only the fetus's life is in danger and the mother's life is not in danger? But if you have such a situation, are you permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of the fetus? So that's a machlekes. And we're showing him how to read the Gemaras. And because there's no psak in the Shulchan Aruch, so we say lahakel. Whenever there's any suffik in pikuach nefesh, but you always go lahakel. Usually we say suffik deraisa lechumra, but a suffik in pikuach nefesh, you go lekula. Even a svek sveke, you go lekula. Even if the likelihood is, let's say a person is so deathly sick, likelihood is that even if we're going to drive him to the hospital on Shabbos, we won't succeed in saving his life. Or the likelihood is, the odds are that even if we don't drive him to the hospital, he's going to survive without the Chilul Shabbos. Even though the odds are he's going to die anyway, or he won't die even if he won't be Mechal Shabbos, still, the Gemara says, if there's a slight chance of saving his life, then you are Mechal Shabbos. The Gemara, however, says in Ksubis, in the end of the third paragraph in Ksubis, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Shamer Psayim Hashem. So based on that pasuk, God watches over the lives of the foolish people. So what is that referring to? So the Gemara says, also included in that pasuk is that if there's a far-fetched suffix akana that people are just not nervous about, let's say a person has an ingrown toenail. So every once in a long, long while, they write up an article in the newspaper that someone died from blood poisoning from an ingrown toenail. But most of the time, if a person has a pain from an ingrown toenail, and it's a Monday morning and he has to go to work, he's not going to take off the day from the office. He'll go to work, he won't be worried about it, and then he'll go see a doctor. After hours, he doesn't want to lose his money. So then if it's that kind of a suffix sakana that people are not really so nervous about, they don't think that that's going to cause them to lose their lives, then that's not Decha Shabbos either. That's based on the Pasuk, Shem Epsoim Hashem. So the din is that any suffix sakana stafashis is Decha Shabbos, even if the roiv is that you should not be Mechal Shabbos, you don't go baser roiv. So not only is that so, benegir to a suffik and what the facts are, whether he's going to survive or not, what if it's a suffik and din? What if it's a machloikis? Rov ha-poskim, I'm not sure which way rov ha-poskim hold. Let's say, for argument's sake, rov ha-poskim would say, you're not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a fetus. And the minority opinion would say that it is mutter. So that's also included in the rule. The Menchas Chinuch explains. That too is included in the rule. Ahalcha b'pikuch nefashis achar harayv. Whenever there's any suffix sakana, so it's decha Shabbos, decha kala terkula, even if it's a suffix in din. There is a machlekes in Rishonim, where there's an overwhelming rayv in one direction. What do you mean by sakanas nefashis? Sakanas nefashis means loss of life? What about loss of a limb? So the Meiri in Maseches Avodah Zarah understood from the Gemara there that even loss of a limb is the same as loss of a life, and one is permitted to be Mechal Shabbos and so on to violate whatever is necessary in order to save that limb. All the other Rishonim had a different girsa in the Gemara. All the other Rishonim have a girsa. The Gemara talks about if there's an infection in the eye, and the Gemara says you're permitted, if necessary, to be Mechal Shabbos to save the person's life, because there are blood vessels that connect between the eye and the heart, and the infection may spread to the heart and may cause the person to die. So the way we have the Girsa in the Gemara, it says Sakanas Ayin is Decha Shabbos, because an infection in the eye can spread to the heart. I used to learn Mecharusa with Rabbi Neuberger's older brother. His older brother is a doctor. He told me at that time he didn't understand what that meant. What do you mean? The blood vessels all over the body, an infection anywhere in the body can spread to the rest of the body and kill you. Apparently since then, doctors have published essays that the Gemara does make sense. Somehow there is something, some kind of a connection between the eye and the heart that's more so than the rest of the body. So there's some kind of an infection in the eye that can cause the person to lose his life, more so than the rest of the parts of the body. Anyway, so the way we have the Girsa in the Gemara, the way it's printed in our Gemara, is that not that Sakonis Ayin per se is not Decha Shabbos, just because the infection in the eye may spread and it may cause him to lose his life. That's called Sakonis Achan, not Sakonis Sefer. The Sri Deish, who died about 50 years ago, Sri Deish writes, he thinks that maybe we should reconsider this issue. Even on the Shulchan Aruch, they pass on Sakonis Aver is not Decha Shabbos. He says maybe we should reconsider it, because whenever you have a Machlekes HaPoskim, even if the Rov HaPoskim say you're not Mechal Shabbos, but if there's a minority opinion, that's also included in Sofik Nefashis, Sofik Pikuach Nefesh Lohakel, And lahalcha b'pikuach nefashas sachar harayv, if there's a minority opinion, if the only opinion who would say that sakana sayin is decha Shabbos would be the Meiri, it's only one obscure rishain. Meiri wasn't such a major rishain. So if the only one who says is is the Meiri, then we would ignore it. Whenever you have a shita yichidah. But the Sri Deish claims that over here it's not such a shita yichidah. He claims that he has a Tosis in Sukkah that says the same, and he has a Rabbi Natam quoted by the Mordechai who says the same. So the Bar Tam is already a major Rishon, and the Tosis in Sukkah also. So you have three sources that say the same thing. Rabban Soloveitchik was known to Paskin like that Sri Deish, that because you have three Rishonim who say Sakana Sever is Decha Shabbos, Decha Kol HaTarkoh, he thought that you should follow that, that should be considered Sofik Nefashos Lahokel, even though the Rav HaPaskim hold not so. The Pashtus is that the Tosfos in Sukkah is a misprint, because the Rashash suggests on his own that he thinks it's a misprint, and we have the Tosfos HaRosh on Sukkah, has word for word the whole Sukkah, the whole line in the Tosfos, the whole Tosfos, except for that question, did correctly in the Tosfos HaRosh. Tosfos HaRosh is usually the set of the Tosfos that our Tosfos are based on. So that's probably a misprint there. Rabbeinu Tam also said a different thing, Al Pi Pasha. Rabbeinu Tam just said, if a patient is, let's say, in the hospital, and the patient is going to hear the doctors carrying on a conversation, the doctors will say, the guy's going to lose his leg, but he's not going to die. We're going to see to it that he doesn't die. To save his leg, it will have to be Mechal Shabbos. So the patient may become so aggravated, a patient may die because of aggravation. You know that that's a fact, that whether the patient survives or not, sometimes, not always, sometimes has to do with his attitude, whether he's in a good mood or a bad mood. So Rabbeinu Tam says like that, he doesn't say that Sakonis Eivor is Decha Shabbos. He says, if the patient hears what they're saying and he understands, he may lose a limb because they're not going to be Mechal Shabbos, he may be aggravated to death, may cause him to die. So that's very questionable, whether that should be the psak, what the Sri Deish raised, that maybe today we should reconsider the psak and accept the psak against the Shulchan Aruch. That's highly questionable. What if the sakon, let's say a person is ascertained, he has, they diagnose him on Shabbos, he has cancer and he needs chemotherapy. You don't have to start the chemotherapy today. You have to do it in the next year. So you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to do it today. It doesn't have to be today. It's not a sakon today. The person, he needs surgery and it's late Shabbos afternoon. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You can wait 2 hours and start after Havdalah. You don't have to do the surgery on Shabbos. So it's not sakonis nefashis for today. It's not miyad. If it's clearly not miyad, if it's a questionable, so you have to be Mechal Shabbos because of the suffering. If it's not miyad, then you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos today. The Ramban has an interesting interpretation on the Gemara. There is a Gemara in later in Ksubas on Daf Samach, very strange Gemara, that a person who's Goneach has some kind of a condition, he's sick, we don't know what Goneach corresponds to, is permitted to drink milk directly from the udders of the cow. Yonik Cholov Beyontif. So what is that all about? To what extent is he sick? So Tosfos has a whole discussion. So the Ramban has the following suggestion. Maybe he has a sakonas nefoshes. Maybe he's really, his life is bisakana. But it's not a sakana that has to be taken care of today. It can be taken care of after Shabbos. It can take care of it tomorrow. So the Gemara is telling us that even though one is not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to do a melacha deraisa, but he's going to drink the milk directly from the udder of the cow, that's kalachayat, that's mishunah. That lowers the level of the melacha to a melacha derabbanan. And once it's only melacha derabbanan, so we permit it on Shabbos, even though it wasn't really necessary, it's not really sakas nefashis for today. So some quote that the Chazanish paskin like that Ramban. The other Bishonim don't really take a stand on that. Some quote that the Chazanish thought we should be lenient on that issue, that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos on a derabbanan, even though it's not the sakana for now. There is a Rashash in the end of Yuma. The Gemara in the end of Yuma talks about the people of, when the Torah was given, Har Sinai, and they had a fast on Yom Kippur, there were always some people who were not able, not in a condition to fast. So the Din of Pikuach Nefesh is discussed in the end of Yuma, the last parak, about the Chayla Meskenim who have to eat on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara discusses a little bit, is it permissible to postpone, is it permissible to do the Chilul Shabbos on Shabbos if it's not really necessary? You can start it tomorrow. So one Gemara says yes, and one Gemara says no. So how do you resolve the contradiction? So the Rashash has an interesting suggestion. He says, let's say the person needs treatment for 10 days. Let's say the person, he needs a Chilul Shabbos treatment for 10 days. So one Shabbos for sure is going to have to be included. He can't skip a day. So you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos one day. If he only needs treatment 5 days in a row, and they diagnose him on Shabbos, they don't start on Shabbos, start the treatments on Sunday, on Monday. You have 5 days in a row, and he'll be okay. You don't need any Chilul Shabbos at all. But if he needs treatment Chilul Shabbos for 10 days in a row, so you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos anyway. So then the Rashash interprets in the Gemara that then you can already start on the first Shabbos and have Chilul Shabbos on two Shabbos. Because Ben Kovakoi, you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos anyway. So then you don't have to avoid Chilul Shabbos from the extra Shabbos. Interesting idea. Rashash was a businessman. He always has smart ideas, so you have to think whether we should pass on like that or not. The Gemara then, the end of Yuma, discusses that when one has to eat non-kosher food in order to save his life, and he has a choice, he can either eat ham, which is an Issa Lav, or he can eat Tevel, which is an Issa Misa B'dei Shamayim. Bizman is that Tevel in Eretz Yisrael is only Midi Rabbanon, because we follow the Rambam's opinion that Trumas HaMaisis, Bizman HaZafil, Bizman B'Aishenim is only the Rabbanon. But let's say when Trumas HaMaisis was their Issa. So the Gemara says, if you eat the ham, it's on Lav. If you eat the Tevel, it's Misa B'dei Shamayim. So Misa B'dei Shamayim is Mochomer than ham. So Machila Mosa Hakala Kal Tchila. You should violate the lesser of the two evils. Or let's say the Gemara discusses, what if there are two foods? One food is Tevel, which is Misa B'dei Shamayim, and one food is Chelev, which has an Issa Koris. Chelev Adam, which has an Issa Koris. And he has to eat one of the two in order to save his life. So the Talmud Bavli assumes that Koris is more chomer than Misa B'dei Shamayim. So let him violate the lesser of the two Isurim. Let him violate the Issa Misa B'dei Shamayim as opposed to the Issa Koris. The same thing on Yom Kippur, and Shulchan Aruch says if a person is basically healthy, but an older person, if he's going to fast a whole day, he will go into a sakana. The doctors are concerned he may become Masukah. So then we should have him eat on Yom Kippur. So if he can eat less than a shear, if he eat a pachas mikashir on Yom Kippur, there's a shear for eating and a shear for drinking. So if a person eats pachas mikashir, we pass on the halacha that that is an isa deraisa, chatzi shear asam and atara. That's a machleg sabiach namish lokish. But although it's asam and atara, but it's not also to the same extent as a full shear. Full shear has an oinish, a punishment, and a chatzi shear doesn't have a punishment. So if the person can eat pachas megashir, let him eat a chatzishir now. Wait a few minutes and eat in a chatzishir. So in Shulchan Aruch they say, you should eat pachas megashir. What's the din if a person is a chela mesuka? Not that he's a healthy person, but we're afraid that his health is fragile, and if he's going to fast, he may become a mesukan. Let's say he already is a mesukan. He already is a chela sheyesh b'sakana. So there, Rav Soloveitchik told over this story that when his father took his first rabbinical position in Europe, his father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, made him promise to him that he'll paskin the way he paskined in Volozhin, that if the person already is a chodesh yesh b'sakana, you give him regular food on Yom Kippur. And in a tziv, who's Rav Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the tziv. Then it was the Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin the last 39 years. Volozhin lasted for 91 years, from 1801 to 1891, something like that, 91 years. So he was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years. So he said when he entered the yeshiva in Volozhin, the Nachlas David was still alive. Nachlas David, Rab David Tebel, used to give shiurim in the yeshiva. He was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Volozhiner, and the Nachlas David told him that that was the psak of Rab Chaim Volozhiner. It's just a matter, you look in the Mishnah Berurah, it says in the Mishnah Berurah. People usually skip that line in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says befeish like that, that by a person who's healthy and you don't want him to get sick, so on Yom Kippur you tell him to eat pachas megshir. But if the person already is a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, he already is b'sakana, then you give him regular food on Yom Kippur. What is that based on? But you can save his life if he'll eat pachas pachas mikashir also. So that's based on the Magen Mishnah, who claims on the side of the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, that when you have a chodesh eish b'sakana, you're permitted to be mechal Shabbos. Not only are those treatments that will possibly save the life of the chayla, you're mechal Shabbos for kol tzaracha, for all of the needs of the chayla, to make him more comfortable and to take care of everything the way you would do on a normal weekday. That's how you should do on Shabbos. So this psak of the Magen Mishnah is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos, in Siman Shin Chav Ches, all the dinim of Pikuach Nefesh on Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Chav Ches, then in Yeridei also Kuf Nun Zayin, dinim of Yehoreg Val Yavar, when Pikuach Nefesh is doich, and when you say Yehoreg Val Yavar. So the Mishnah Brura has a long bir halacha, unusually long bir halacha, goes on and on and on and on. And he has a load of kashas, many, many kashas, against the psak of the Magid Mishnah. How can you say you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for all the kol tzarach, of all the needs of the chayla? It says, not so. In this Gemara, that Gemara, the other Gemara, Shulchan, he quotes a lot of kashas. He recommends we shouldn't follow the Magid Mishnah. It's a difficult psak, but the Magid Mishnah said it. So he said, at least on Dinam Deraisa, you shouldn't follow the Magen Mishnah. Maybe on Dinam Derabanan, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to do Kol Tzarachov, to make the Chayla comfortable and so on, but not with respect to Dinam Deraisa. Rav Velbula Soloveitchik, the son of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, wrote a Sefer on the Rambam. So in his Sefer, in Hilchas Shvisa Sosa, about fasting on Yom Kippur, he quotes what his father said. And then he explains why all the kashas in the Mishnah Brura don't really contradict what Rav Chaim said. So the Mishnah Brura is quoting cases where the fellow is healthy, you're afraid he's going to get into a sakana. But none of the cases are talking about this situation where he already is a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. Magen Mishnah sheet only applies if the fellow already is a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. So that was the psak in Valoshim from the beginning, from the outset when the yeshiva was founded. That's basically what the Mishnah Brura says also. If you have a person who's a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, the Mishnah Brura is in Hilchos Yom Kippur. He says when you have a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, you don't insist that he should eat pachas pachas mikashir. How do you determine whether you have a suffix sakana? So if you have laymen, so they're guessing. Okay, so whenever anybody thinks that there's a chayla, that there's a sakana, you got to do a sakana. The Gemara has a whole list of things in Maseches Avodah Zarah, in the middle of Avodah Zarah. This is called the Sakana, this is not called the Sakana. How did the Gemara know all this? They got it from the doctors of their generation, the non-Jewish doctors in their generation. So we should do the same as the Chachmei HaGemara. We should rely on the doctors of our generation. It says in the Gemara, in Perek HaBlez in the Mila, Maseches Shabbos, that you have to bathe a baby with warm water, before and after you perform a bris milah to prevent infection, because you're going to have an open wound. And today we have other ways to prevent infection. Nobody bathes the baby with warm water before and after the bris. And even the days of Rabbi Yosef Kara, who lived in Tzfat in the 1500s, and the hygienic conditions were not so gewaldic, he says that we don't do it today either. So the Gemara says, if you perform the bris on a baby on Shabbos, you have to bathe the baby with warm water after the bris. And if there's no goy to ask to warm the water, you don't have any warm water, you're permitted to be mechal Shabbos yourself to heat up water on Shabbos, because the baby is a suffix sakana. So the Shulchan Aruch says we don't do that. We don't follow what it says in the Gemara. We follow the doctors of our generation. And the doctors of our generation say about a lot of things that the Gemara says are not a sakana. The doctors of our generation say that they are a sakana. So we do the same as the Chachmei HaGemara. They relied on the doctors of their generation. So we rely on the doctors of our generation as well. The Gemara says in the end of Yuma that when you have to be Mechal Shabbos to save someone's life, Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, you shouldn't send a child to do it, or you shouldn't send a woman, or you shouldn't send an Am Haaretz, because people will think that you're not really allowed to do this, so that's why we send a child. You shouldn't send a goy, because you'll be conveying a very improper message to the public that really you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So this is not right. The Gemara says, Ein oisem al yedei ktanim, el al yedei gedolim, el al yedei gedolim. What does the word gedolim mean? So the Pasha Pshat means adults, older individuals. So the Rambam understood gedolim means tamina chachamim. So the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Loshan Rambam. The Rabbanim have the obligation to run to see to it that you take care of the Pikuach Nefesh. So the Rabbanim should paskin by their involving themselves in the Pikuach Nefesh. They should demonstrate to the public that this is not only permissible, it's obligatory. You have to run to be Mechal Shabbos. He used to be a Rebbe in Torah Vadas, Rabbi Simcha Sheps. He was a Kohen. He was a personality. Everybody knew him. So he learned, he was one of those who was lucky to learn by Rav Elbel and Soloveitchik in Europe. Before the war, Rav Elbel had a long table in his dining room and he had only room for 11. He had 11 seats. So he always invited 11 students from all the different yeshivas to come and learn. And he gave shiur. So Rabbi Shep said he remembers when he was in Brisk for 1 year, usually they only learn for 1 year. We had Rabbi Gerelik, used to be a Rebbe here in the yeshiva. So he learned 1 year, and then he was dating a girl in Brisk and she didn't agree to marry him. So he was lucky, so they let him stay a second year till he clinched the shidduch. So he was fortunate, he learned 2 years by Rav Elbel in Europe. So Rabbi Shep said he remembers the year that he was there. They were davening Shachris on Shavuos morning, and someone ran into the shul and screamed out loud that there's a university student who was in an accident. He was run over, and he wasn't from Brisk, from Lithuania. He was from Poland, and the hospital is not going to treat him until they contact the consulate of that foreign country. So Rabbi Soloveitchik himself, Rabbi Bubba Soloveitchik, ran out of shul in the middle of Shachris. He said, the dinner is that the rabbi has to take care of it. So he says that they felt bad, he's going to miss the whole Kriyas HaTorah and everything. So they told the Chazan he should say slowly, even Sahara, and he should go slowly, everything. And then he didn't come back for the Kriyas HaTorah, so they told the Gabbai to make more Mishaberachs, to slow down everything. Everything should go slow, maybe the rabbi will come back. He didn't come back, so they started Musaf without him. So he finally came back in the middle of Musaf, and he's not allowed to walk in front of people who are davening. So the whole shul, everybody was davening. So he davened in the back of the shul, but he didn't have his machzor with him. So he davened by heart. So at the end of the davening, how can you daven by heart Musaf on Yontif? I didn't know the karbonis by heart. So after he davened Musaf, he was so shaken up, he didn't remember whether he davened the Musaf Dikishman Esrei or the Shachris Dikishman Esrei. So the purpose, Rabbi Sheps told us over the story, was Rav Elbele would never paskin a shayla, even a yalav yav a shayla for himself. He wouldn't paskin on his own. So he said after davening was over, he walked over to the dayan, to Rabbi Simcha Zelig, and he asked him, what's the din? I don't remember if I davened this. And then Rabbi Sheps added, who do you think the university student was? A religious boy didn't go to, a religious Jewish boy didn't go to university. It was an apikairis. Rav Elbele ran out in the middle of davening to be Mechal Al Yontif, to take care of the needs of the apikairis. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You have to be Mechal Shabbos, even for a Jew who's an apikairis. Yeah. The Mishnah Berurah raises the possibility that not so. An apikairis nina k'nochri, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. So let's say if this person, if there would have been a Bezdin now, Bezdin would have given the death penalty because he does Chilul Shabbos every Shabbos. So, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes Bim God, but they didn't make a Gmar Din on him yet. So you can't say he did deserve the death penalty. Because what? Because Sakana Saver?
Is most of the time it's going to be Sakana Sefashas also?
No. Let's say the person is in the hospital. Usually laymen can't tell. So if there's a Sakana Saver, so the layman won't think there's a Sakana Kalaguf. But let's say they're in the hospital and the doctors know that this is only Sakana Saver, no Sakana Sefashas. So what's the din in such a case? So that's the Machlaikas. That's the Machlaikas, the Meirian. And possibly some others against the Rov HaRishonim will hold not so. Rabbi Yosef Engel has in his Sefer Asan Deraisa an interesting suggestion. He says, does it make a difference who's Mechal Shabbos? Which person is going to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life on the weekdays? Who should take the patient to the hospital? So he says the father of the child has more of an obligation than anybody else because there's a mitzvah pira v'rivya, you have to have a son and a daughter, at least. And if the child dies before he got married and had children of his own, then you have to have more children. So saving the life of a child is not only the mitzvah of your own child, it's not only a mitzvah of pikuach nefesh, that's the mitzvah of pira v'rivya. You have to see to it that your children should survive until they marry and have their own children. on Shabbos, Masechah Shabbos, there are 24 prokim. So one whole perek, perek Shmona Shvatzim, the first daf has nothing to do with this, but the rest of the perek is dedicated to the laws of refuah on Shabbos. The Chachamim made a prohibition that you're not allowed to take medications on Shabbos, unless it's a very serious situation. Why they make such gzeira? Shemi shachik samamanim. In the days of the Gemara, when you would need a medication, you wouldn't be able to buy it from the store already ground up or made. You would have to grind up the vegetable yourself. So if you grind up things on Shabbos into tiny particles and make flour out of it, so that's a malocha of tochen. So they made gzeira shemi shachik samamanim. No, if the person is mamash achodah sheish v'sakona, so you're allowed to do the Chilul Shabbos mamash. So of course he's allowed to take medication. Is that the only case that we permit medication on Shabbos? Applying medication is when the person is a chodesh sheyesh b'sakana. What if he's a chodesh she'ein b'sakana? So that's a big machlokes. The Mishkanes Yankif, who was a Talmud of Rab Chaim Balojina, Mishkanes Yankif is of the opinion, he follows those Rishonim, that only a chodesh sheyesh b'sakana are you permitted to take refuah b'Shabbos. And if there's no sakana, you're not allowed to apply refuah. That's not the accepted psak in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch v'paskin that this prohibition against applying any medications on Shabbos, not allowed to swallow a pill on Shabbos if you're sick. So the issur refuah only applies to a bari, a healthy person who has a vechesh bi'alma, slight ache and pain. But if the patient, if the person is so sick that he's a chodesh she'ein bo sakana, then we paskin that all refuah is mutter. What's the definition of a chodesh she'ein bo sakana? How do you distinguish between a bari with a mechesh bi'alma as opposed to a chodesh she'ein bo sakana? So the Ramah says that the definition is either mutal the mishkov, that he's so sick he has to lay in bed, or chodesh kol gufo, he has aches and pains in his whole body. Let's say the person has the flu, so he has to lay in bed. So what's the common denominator? What's the definition of a chodesh she'ein bo sakana? Means a person who has a condition, because of that condition, is unable to function normally. That's called a chodesh she'ein bo sakana. If a person has slight aches and pains and he goes through his daily routine with the pains, okay, so that's a bari with a mechesh b'yalma. But if the person has such, let's say, a headache, so if you have a mild headache, so what can you do? So you live without the aspirin, so you'll suffer a little bit. If you have a splitting headache, so everything is slowed down. Let's say you have a sinus condition, so sometimes the sinus condition, it's annoying. And sometimes it's so annoying, you can't breathe, and your eyes are tearing, and your throat, you can't talk, and you can't eat. If the person can eat, then he can't talk, or he can't walk, I'm one of these. That's called the chodesh she'ein bo sakana. Even if he's not sick at all, let's say you have a little baby. So the baby has to have his bottle. The baby doesn't have his bottle, he's going to start screaming. Usually the baby plays with his toys. The baby or the young children fight with their siblings. Whatever is normal for the baby. And when the baby is hungry, or the baby gets a temper tantrum, and he stops walking in the middle of the street, and there's no Erev. And the light turns red, and the kid is standing in the middle of the street. So that's, and the kid has this, little child, has this bug in his head, he doesn't want to walk. The child is not sick, but Tzorche HaTinoik, the needs of little children are always considered Chodesh she'ein bo sakana, because the kid can't function. For whatever reason, when he wants to have his bottle, he starts screaming on top of his lungs. He's not able to function. He's not even sick. But the Gemara says, in such a situation, we declare that the child is considered like the same as a chodesh she'ein bo sakana. He has a condition. His condition is babyhood, whatever you call it. He's a baby. He has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. He's hungry, and he's a baby, and he can't function normally. So the Gemara says, Amira l'nochri is mutter for tzorchei hatinoik. Usually, whatever we're not allowed to do, we're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do for us on Shabbos. But here we're permitted to have a non-Jew drive a baby to the hospital. The baby is not really b'sakana at all, but the baby's screaming up of his lungs because he has whatever. He can't. He has a stuffed nose. He's screaming. So you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to take him to the hospital or to do whatever malacha is necessary or to carry, let's say... You don't have a bottle, and the bottle's across the street, and there's no Erev, so you're permitted to ask a non-Jew to carry across the street. The Gemara says, Amir l'nachri is mutter for a tinuk, because a tinuk is a chodesh she'ein bo sakana. The Gemara said the same thing. Let's say a person is not, he's not well, and he needs we diagnosed it, he needs a lot of sleep. And he can't fall asleep, on Friday night. So now we have pills that will put you to sleep. So then they said, Gemara, they didn't have any pills. So and the person can't function normally. He's a chodesh shemus akane, can't function normally. So if you play soft music, we can succeed in putting him to sleep. So the Gemara says, even though it's prohibited to play music on Shabbos and Yontif, if you can get a non-Jew to play the music, it's certainly good. Make it into a shvuz de shvuz. Ask a non-Jew is only the Rabbanan, playing music is only the Rabbanan. But even if there's no non-Jew, so the Gemara says in the last parak in Erevin, you're permitted to play music to put a patient to sleep on Shabbos. Because playing music on Shabbos is not even a malacha mid Rabbanan, it's only a gzeira. Gzeira shem yisak in klei shir. So whatever is only a gzeira, we allow for a choyle shem besakona. For example, the doctors say that the patient has whatever, he has a fever, he has some kind of condition, he can't function normally, and the doctors say he needs a hot bath. So you're not allowed to turn on the hot water on Shabbos, it's a malacha bishul. So you're permitted to ask a non-Jew to turn on the hot water because he's a chodesh shem besakona. Fine, so the goy will make him a hot bath, but how can he take the hot bath? There's a gzeiras habalonim in the third parak of Masechta Shabbos. You're not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos, even if the water was heated up in the bathtub before Shabbos. I filled up the bathtub myself before Shabbos, you're not allowed to take the hot bath on Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page in the Shulchan Aruch says the answer is that that's only a gzeirah mid rabbanan. Gzeirahs habalonim, balonim are the bathhouse attendants. In the days of the Tanoim, the bathhouse attendants were not the most observant people. And when the Jewish people would want to take a hot bath on Shabbos afternoon, the bathhouse attendants would claim, "Yeah, we cooked the water on Erev Shabbos and we retained the heat." And a lot of times it was a lie; it wasn't true. They were cooking the water on Shabbos. So the rabbis prohibited taking a hot bath on Shabbos afternoon, even if you know the water was heated up before Shabbos, even if it is true because of the balonim, because we're afraid they're gonna do chilul Shabbos. So we're not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos, even if we know it's on our own home. We know that nobody was Mechal Shabbos. So Rabbi Kiveger says over here, but this patient is a Cholosh and Sakana. So just like Amir Lenochri is Mutter, because Amir Lenochri is only a Gzeira de Rabbanan, it's not even a Melochim de Rabbanan. So the same is true regarding taking a hot bath. That's also only a Gzeira de Rabbanan, it's not a Melochim de Rabbanan. You have the same, the Mogen Avram says, let's say a non-Jewish doctor comes to the home, And the Jewish patient needs a certain medication. So the doctor says, "I don't have a pen. Can you please give me a pen? I'll write a prescription." He has a pen of paper, but he doesn't have a pen. So the Jew is going to say, "Well, on Shabbos, Muktzah, I'm not allowed to handle a pen. Please come to the drawer and take the pen out." So the doctor is not so supportive of the Jewish causes. So he said, "If you don't give me the pen, I'm going to go home. Goodbye." So are you permitted to give him the pen on Shabbos? No one is b'sakana. The patient is only chodesh shem b'sakana. So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Sefer Issa v'Heter of the Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi, not to be confused with the Rabbeinu Yonah Girondi, that was somebody else. He lived in a different generation, different country, different people. So the Issa v'Heter is quoted every page in Yeridei. Shach always quotes the Issa v'Heter. He has all about Hilchas Basa B'cholav, Hilchas Trefes, Hilchas Darubis. He has one chapter is about Pikuach Nefesh. So he writes that it's permissible to be metaltal muktzah on Shabbos if it's necessary on behalf of a chodesh shem b'sakana. Because tiltal muktzah is not a malacha derais, it's not even a malacha mederabban, it's only a gzeira. So all gzeiras are lifted by makom chodesh shem b'sakana. The amir with the nochri is a gzeira, and bathing in the hot water is a gzeira, and taking medication is a gzeira. So that's hatzara shavah. All the things that are just gzeiras, we allow a makam chodesh shem v'sakon. The Gemara in Psochim talks about isuri hanoah, isuri achilo, isuri hanoah. What if a person eats machol sasur shalok yederach achilos? Person takes a trefa hot dog out of the freezer and it's hard like a rock, and he eats it the way it is. That's not normal. Or a person just fried the non-kosher hot dogs and he eats it burning hot and he's burning his tongue. So that's not the normal way that people eat. People don't eat it when it's burning hot. People don't eat it when it's ice cold, hard like a rock. So the Gemara says, if you eat machol sasur shalok derech achilosai, there's no isa deraisa. And the accepted opinion is that there is an isa derabbanan. There is an opinion there isn't even an isa derabbanan. We don't follow that. Shach quotes that, and the Shach Zari says that's not the accepted opinion. We follow the Rov HaRishonim, that there is an Issa D'Rabban. And the same we assume about, let's say, Orlo. It's not only Orlo, the fruits that grow on a tree, the first 3 years are Asa B'Ano. So we assume not only Asa B'Achil, Asa B'Ano as well. We assume that if you get Hano, Shalok HaTano Asam, that's not an Issa D'Raisa, that's an Issa D'Rabban. So the Gemara says, if you have a Chodesh Ha'imbo Sakana, and to heal him, you have to smear his body with oil, and you'll do it in a fashion shalok derech hanasam. So then the Gemara says it's mutter. And an isa deraisa to get hanos shalok derech hanasam is only the rabbanon. So mamakam chodeshem b'sakana, that's mutter. So this led some rishonim to believe that whatever is only awesome in the rabbanon is mutter mamakam chodeshem b'sakana. So the Ranam Sochem and Af Chafei, when that Gemara tells the story. That one of the Amoraim was smearing his daughter, he took olives. He didn't have olive oil of Arlo, he had olives, and he was rubbing the olives on his daughter's body because she was a choyla, and he got Hano from the olive oil, Shalukadar Hanos. So since the daughter was a choyla Shem Bisakon, so it was permissible. So the Ran says there was some Rishonim who understood from this Gemara that you're allowed to drink treifa wine. Treifa wine is only treifa in the Rabbanon. Stam Yenim is only awesome in the Rabbanon. If a person is a Chodeshem B'Sakana, we would permit that. So the Ran thinks that that's not a correct analysis, and we pass on Shulchan Aruch like the Ran. There's a difference between an Iser de Rabbanon and an Iser de Raisa, Shaloka Derech HaNasa. Shaloka Derech HaNasa, that's a Gzeirim in the Rabbanon. Mashenikin, if you're drinking Stam Yenim, that's an Issa de Rabbanon. So Macholos Asuris, we're not Matir for a Chodeshem B'Sakana. Even Macholos Asuris de Rabbanon. But if you should look at Derech HaNasam, of an Issa de Raisa, that we are Matir. That's really parallel to what we're saying over here, that on Shabbos there are two categories of Issurim de Rabbanon. Some are Malachas min de Rabbanon, and some are Xeris min de Rabbanon. So those that are Malachas min de Rabbanon, we don't allow. But those that are only gzeres, like Amir Lenocher is also a gzeres, that you may do the malacha yourself, or to bathe in hot water, or to be metaltal mukze, these are all gzeres derabanan. So to violate a gzeres derabanan, we would allow, but to violate a real issa derabanan, like Stam Yenam, that's like a malachim of the Rabban, so that we would not be makel the makom mechol Hashem
b'sakan. Okay.
All of the prohibitions made the Rabban, they're all gzeiros. They're all based on the pasuk Shmartem es mishmarti, but some of them were declared made the Rabban, and the authorization of the rabbis to introduce them is based on the right and the obligation to introduce gzeiros as seis yoglatar. That's based on the Shmartem is Mishmarti. But some of them are labeled as Malachas ben Rabban, which will be Mochama, and some are only remain as a Gzeir. It's only as a Harchok. Even with the Rabban, you don't say, when the guy takes a hot bath, you don't say that he did a Malacham with the Rabban. He didn't do Bishul with the Rabban. We're not allowed to take a hot bath because somebody may forget, someone may, the Balonim, who are not so observant, the Balonim may heat up the water on Shabbat. That remains a Gzeir. But other Isurim the Rabbanon are not only considered Xeris, they're considered Malochas Midi Rabbanon. One year the Israeli newspapers wrote up a whole story that never happened, that there was a black ambassador to Medina Yisrael who was in an automobile accident in Meir Shorim on Shabbos. It's right away, can't be. Meir Shorim, there are cars running on Shabbos. The whole story never existed. He was run over on Shabbos Meir Shorim, and no one lifted a telephone to call the police, to call an ambulance, and he died. So they were attacking all the religious Jews in Eretz Yisrael, that they won't lift a finger to be Mechal Shabbos for the non-Jews. So in the middle of this, this was going on for 3/4 of a year, until he finally wrote that the whole thing was a make-believe story, never happened. So in the middle of that whole hullabaloo for 3/4 of a year, the chief rabbi at that time happened to be Rabbi Unterman, and he visited America. Whenever they visit America, they have to speak in YU. So everybody was talking about this case. So he spoke in the big auditorium. He spoke about it. So he said, we machal Shabbos to save the lives of the non-Jews as well, because the pasuk says, derechei adarchei noyim, chol nesiv esteh sholem, and the Gemara Nivamas establishes dinim based on that pasuk, derechei adarchei noyim. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, for some reason or another, didn't. Usually he used to attend whenever chief rabbi visited, he attended to show kavod to the rabbanut. On that occasion, for some reason or another, he didn't attend. And he asked the students, what did he say? He said, he told them, obviously, he was very upset. He said, that's not correct. When Chal Shabbos to save the lives of the Nochem, because we're afraid to make a pogrom, that's why. It's not based on Darchinan. But bottom line, we are Mechal Shabbos to save the lives of Nochrim. Of course, to save the lives of Cherusha to the cotton. Of course we do. There's nothing to discuss. Okay, we should all be healthy. Live. Baruch Yamim Shanim Tovos.